Who can stop? Who can stop the Lord Almighty?
No one.
That's amazing. Those are powerful words. If somebody back there, if you could just put up the last song, there was or the, not the whole song, but the last verse and the last set of words from before, right before this, that was just up there. Just really, really powerful words that just touched my heart deeply. Yeah, it was right before this, the last song, whatever it was like, yeah. Yes, this one. When we sang this together, guys, I know, hopefully this is being recorded, so anybody who's out on the slopes or wherever people are that can hear this. Our God is the Lamb that was slain for the sins of the world. His blood breaks the chains. I had a conversation this week with someone who's probably closer to the other side than some of us. And there was such a hunger for Jesus and who he is and what he's done. It was amazing. On the other side, someone similar in age, also closer probably to the other side than many of us or some of us, that didn't understand what that meant, but would sing it, would claim it, would high-five it, but didn't understand it, that it hadn't become revelation in their heart. And the Lord was just really speaking to me this week about something really, really profound about the sin of the world, that what Jesus has actually done. And I would say that if I spoke about that the next 45 minutes, that we'd all go, yeah, that's right. But there's something that takes place in the heart when we grab what he's done and who he is and how magnificent he is. And any time we even hear about the Lamb who was slain, Jesus died for the sin of the world, that the fire of God would just start pulsating inside of us. That's where we're going. That's where we're supposed to go. And that's what God has for us. His blood breaks the chains, and that every knee will bow and behold before the Lion and the Lamb, and every knee will bow before him. I was reminded of a conversation that I had with Ben Atkinson, who was here last weekend, which was amazing. You're going to hear more about that in a second. But I had a conversation with him a few months ago, and we were talking about this. And he said, well, you know, we can either bend the knee here or bend the knee later, but we're going to bend the knee. And we're laughing. We're going to bend that knee. Are we going to bend that knee? We are going to bend that knee. Sometimes we have this idea that it's the nations, whoever they are, and they will bend the knee in front of the Lord Jesus Christ. But he's calling each one of us to embrace this and say, Lord, you're calling me to bend my knee. But it's going to be in light of this, that our holy God sent the Lamb who was slain before the foundations of the world for sin. It's like, okay, what do we do with that? It's okay, that having been said, I want to tell you what happened. I went to see a man, a friend of mine, that I've known for so many years, and he's in his mid to upper 80s, and he has been told he's going home to be with Jesus. He's been told by hospice, your time is up, you're going. Could be any moment, but you might have maybe 2 weeks. So they gave him that, told him that. I went to see him, and it's like, God, what do you want me to do and say? I'm not the nurse or the doctor, and I'm not the medical person. I know this person well, and I know the stand that this person takes before Jesus, which is really strong. And I was encouraged by the family to go and talk to him, and it was really hard for him even to have the strength to do anything. Pretty bedridden. So when we start talking about Jesus, because of this, I was telling Pastor Bill this, his arm, he's laying in this bed, and his arm shot up like this for at least, maybe longer, because I was there a couple hours or an hour and a half or something, but at least 45 minutes like this, shaking in the power like this. On his bed. And I was holding the other hand, and the hand's all beat up because, you know, there's the veins are popping, and it was just kind of rough looking. But I was like, okay, this guy's going to break my hand. Holy, we can do this. Not really. He wasn't really going to break my hand, kids. But it felt like that because the power going through him, okay, was so strong. His arm was shaking. My arm was shaking. and we're like this, and I'm smiling like this, and he tells me he sees Jesus in my eyes. It's like, okay, God, the family's not going to like this if he takes off and they haven't even come in from out of town, but you're in charge, you're God, I'm not. What's the deal? And so we're talking all about Jesus, and I said, you know, I'm just asking Jesus what to say to you, to be honest. I said, because, hey, you could go home tonight, or it could be a couple weeks. How do you feel about that? Or it could be longer. How do you feel about that? And he said, really, MP, I just want the longest and the best life God has for me while I'm here. That's what he wanted. Take as many people with you. Stay as long as you can. Understand this before we go home fully, as much as possible. And he goes, I don't know. I said, you want me to pray for your healing? Oh, yes. And I told him, I said, I'm not in charge of anything. All I am is a little kid. I'm a little girl sitting on daddy's lap. Okay? And I don't know what he's going to do. And I don't know what it's going to look like. But all I know is I'm really happy right now. He goes, I am too. His grin doesn't have a, you know, has some false teeth, but didn't have them in. It was just like huge, just huge. His eyes were like, wow. I said, do you sense or see anything? The angels, all the angels are in the room. It's like, yes, so powerful, so holy. And I said, you know, I was quoting and reciting every scripture I could possibly think of. You know, it's like, oh, Jesus, your name is a strong tower of the righteous running to our safe. He's going, hallelujah. And I'm thinking about every possible song that I sang when we went to church together, when, you know, many, many years ago, that we don't sing here typically. And so it's like, where's the hymn book? I need the hymn book. I don't know all the words. Oh, my gosh. So it's like, Jesus, help me. I said to him, I said, do you remember that one song that we would sing at the very end? And a few people's arms would go up, his, mine, a few others. Seriously. Not, you know, just not being silly about it, but it was so awe-inspiring and provoking. I love that word. Ben used it a lot last week. Provoking in the spirit. But I was like, I can't remember this doxology thing. What is it? So the Holy Spirit quickened me. And I started singing it. I was telling Pastor Bill when I got home, I'm singing all these things. And he goes, he liked that? I said, yeah, he did. And he's singing with me. I'm singing all hallelujahs and the doxologies and everything that is scriptural with him. And as many of the old songs that I could. And I remembered, maybe not in the right order, but it doesn't matter, you know. So I'm just kind of singing things out and hoping that he's with me, and he was. And then he starts leading out. And I thought, this is the guy who doesn't have enough strength to go to the bathroom. Can't get off of bed. And the power of God, it was so holy. And it was so loud. Oh, my gosh. It's like, I hope they have cement walls in here. You're in a nursing home. I hope that's what's going on. What's it like? And so we were in there, like I said, hour and a half at least, if not longer. And the Lord gave me the opportunity to read. It's like, Lord, I want to read to him. So get the Bible out. And I start reading. And he's just loving it, going, yes, Jesus. Oh, Jesus, I'm in love with you. Not maybe as strong as is this sounding right now. So I'm reading Revelation 4, the whole chapter with power. Revelation 5, Revelation 1. Started there. And he's like, yes, yes. Revelation 19, Revelation 22, just reading the chapters. It's like, oh my gosh, how long do we do this? Are you ready to sleep yet? There is a nod. Okay, we're finished. But not until. And it was so powerful. And I thought, honestly, I thought, when this came up, I thought, this guy right here would sing that and go, I understand. I've lived my life. And I said to him, well done, good and faithful servant. You fought the good fight. Come on. Good job. You can. What do you want to do with that? He says, whatever Jesus says, I want to live my life. It's okay. And so that was how we ended. I honestly didn't know if I'd hear that he lived through the night. And he's still living. I don't know. And I did pray for healing. Because I told him, I said, you know, Jesus is the giver of life. And if he starts speaking and saying, MP, I'm taking him home now. I'm right here. You can chill. I'm good with that. And I talk like that to him. And I told him that. And he goes, no problem for me. It's like, wow, is that freedom or what? Really, it was so beautiful, so amazing. It's like, okay, God, what's the secret to getting to your late 80s? And you know, maybe he'll go a lot longer. I really don't know. Would I be sad when he crosses over? Sure. He's been such an inspiration in my life. And his family? Sure. Because I've been facing that with my own dad. And I've shared a lot of that with you folks in the last week or so. And don't know what the timing will be for different things. So there's not easy times. And many of you have lost very close loved ones. But at the end of the day, at the end of everything, what ultimately matters? What really matters? What matters when we're at that moment where we're going to see Jesus? And it could happen anytime. And we hope it's right later than sooner, because we have a lot of work to do for Jesus and to love him, right? But what God has for us in this season is so incredibly powerful and strong. And he keeps stirring us up and saying, check this out. What about that? How do you guys feel now? Isn't this good? But it's not about feelings. It's about being grounded with the kisses of his word on us in the presence of God. And it's with that in mind that I want to, Lawrence and Andy sent, they're on the ski slopes. Nick knows this. They're on the ski slopes. I thought they were coming in last night, but I talked to them this morning and I said, can you just give a little clip how last weekend impacted you? And they just sent a couple little 15-second clips, I guess. So I just want to put those up so the kids can see that and then share some of the things before the kids go, and you are going to your class today. God bless you. Last week that didn't happen and it was wild. So thank you, parents. Thank you so much for bearing with all the craziness that happened here, but hopefully it was all good. But if we can put that up, I don't know where it is. Someone's really excited about this, I can tell. Really excited. So anyway, Ben, last weekend, if you want to think about this, if there's something that you want to share of how you felt about last weekend, that would be really great. How many of you got an email that was sent out from us, though? Because we're finding, we're kind of updating our FD. Oh, my gosh, only like six of you? Did you guys get an email from Frontline? If you didn't, you need one. And we need to check your address or something. So it said, what did it say? Oh, watch Ben Atkinson. That was in the subject line. Did everybody get that? Did you, if you didn't get that, let us know. That would be great.
Check your promotions tab.
Yeah. Please. Gmail, Google. Oh my gosh. It's really true. But anyway, okay, here's one. There's Lawrence and the kiddos, couple kiddos. Let's turn the sound on up, please.
Hey guys. Just want to send you a quick video, let you know how awesome Ben Atkinson was last weekend. He gave one of the best messages I've ever heard in my entire life on Song of Solomon. It was absolutely inspiring. And I've noticed ever since that weekend that there's really been a deeper desire to pursue his presence. I've been conveniently blessed enough to be out here on the ski slopes, which is one of my favorite things in the whole world. And yet still, I find my time sitting on the slopes just thinking about the Lord and dwelling on that message from Song of Solomon as well as from Sunday morning. So, absolutely amazing weekend. Love it to death. The kids have been praying towards Jerusalem every day, and we're really blessed from it. So if you get a chance to listen to the message, absolutely go for it. Bless you. Bye, guys. Say bye.
Bye.
So Cynthia's family, a couple family members from Arizona are in this weekend. As you know, Cynthia is taking diligent care of her mom day and night, so we haven't seen her in a while. So keep praying for that situation. It's not easy for lip techs at all in this season, and they're keeping their eyes focused on Jesus. Here we go. Andy, I haven't seen this one.
Andy here. Just a little word on Holy Clubs and Ben Atkinson and what he shared last weekend and just the power and the impartation that came from it. You know, I'm out here on top of a mountain while Lawrence is on the bottom with the kids. and totally have also been thinking about the Lord and his goodness just as I've been out here. And just Ben's heart and his heart for Israel and just all that that entailed was just, you know, spectacular. And just also, you know, it was a real clarion call, I believe, coming back to the first love and really embracing that and going lower and seeking his presence, you know, and desiring to be, you know, a friend of God and what that looks like practically. And I just love the practical applications of, you know, writing down some people to pray for, you know, getting really targeted, really specific. And I believe that's the season the Lord's moving us in, you know, in the season to get targeted, to get specific, and to recapture some of these, you know, basic things and really hold fast to those, knowing that the Lord's going to add, you know, even more on top of that. So, you know, I encourage you guys to check out the email, that all the video links of, you know, the sessions. I videotaped them. I want to see them again. Just so blessed by all that the Lord released. So thankful for Ben. And just pray that you guys all would have a great time today.
Yeah, okay. I haven't seen that either. So anyway, in this email, there are five sessions. And session number 3 is lunchtime with families. It was really cool with Ben, with kids and such. But it's for everybody, whether you have kids or not. As long as you like kids, it'll be good. If you don't, it'll make you like kids, probably. But it was amazing. Just kidding. But it was really amazing, really, really, really inspiring. My suggestion, take it or leave it, is to do it in order. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. And obviously, Sunday morning last week, if you weren't here at all and you couldn't make it or whatever, and you met Ben, it's like, oh, there's a man full of life. And so what's all this that we're doing and we're facing the East and what happened here this weekend? So it'll really put everything in context, too, for what you received or what you heard about or what you didn't know last Sunday, okay? So that would be my hearty suggestion for you. Okay, oh, well, there's the letter. There's the letter. That's what it looks like in your email. So it's a good word. There you go. So it's really good. And I think it's important because the Lord's trying to recalibrate things that are going on in our own thinking. You know, the things that we wake up thinking in the morning or feeling or whatever, the Lord says, where am I? It is your first love. And what does that look like? I like what Andy said because he's talking about the practical application. I like that. And you, if there's something you want to share that really, really impacted your heart briefly, you want to share, come on up, because I'm going to send this to Ben anyway, or he can get it online and just say, thank you, which, you know, we will do. But if there's anything that you felt you wanted to add to that from last weekend, I think we're at a juncture. You know what a juncture is, where it's like, okay, we're now, okay, here we go. We're at a juncture where the Lord's trying to grab all of us in another way. And if you're here all the time at Frontline, it's like, I've heard this for a long time. Yes, but the Lord keeps telling us, so that we see it and we embrace whatever this new path, this accelerated path, that's more new right now that he has for us. And to get all of it so we don't have to play catch up later, because we will bow our knee to what he wants us to see and get. We will, one way or the other, this side or the other side. And we're all together in this. So let's get what we can, because he's releasing more to us. And if we say, I want to know what that is for me and my collective heart and ministry and family and all that, I just think we're just going to kind of be standing back going, whoa, wow, I've been blown away again. So kind of push out some of the debris that might try to come and steal that away from you this week. I mean, I don't know about you. Has anybody had that this week where it's kind of like, you know, this has been hard. Yeah, there's a few hands going up. This has been hard. Oh, my gosh. Well, we don't want to go through all of that today. What we want to do is say, Jesus, we need you. You're the solution. We were reminded again. That's not new, but we love hearing that and receiving it more than hearing it, just receiving it. So if that's the case, just really do yourselves a favor and try to do this and, you know, take their suggestions and ours as well. So watch this stuff. So is there anybody who wants to add briefly how they felt or how they were impacted, anything about Holy Clubs and Ben? We love Ben's way. We love his style. We love his, he's hilarious. He's so funny. He's just amazing. But he is very serious I mean, this is a guy who goes out on his deck, and I won't tell you any more than that because he did tell us what happens out there. But he did tell you that his kids were going, Dad, Dad. So, I mean, he's really wild. And I said to him, I said, Ben, you better be careful. You're going to be out in the woods eating locusts. And he goes, yeah. You know, that's how he is. That's John the Baptist. So you're in a forerunner ministry if you're part of us here. So I'm assuming you are. So these are crazy things. And where does the enemy hit? Anybody who's out in the front, because you are in the way. So the enemy will move. He has moved. He is moving. But as Ben also shared, when our eyes are really close and on Jesus, this annoying beast behind us really can't hook. And he gave us lots of examples of that. So we don't want any hooks. You might get a little, ooh, you might get a punch. You might get a little arrow shot. But we need to be strong, right? So we're going to keep growing in that direction in the Spirit and the Word in the presence of God. So before we go on to some other things, is there anybody who's feeling that burning? I just want to share briefly about last week. I knew you were going to do that. You said, Kim's coming up here. I said, well, this is nice.
He challenged me so much. In one session, just I think in the first 5 minutes, I nudged my husband, not seriously, but says, I think I need to leave. He said, well, I said, this is challenging me already. when he was speaking about practical ways to share your faith, but not just share it, it was about discipling. It was about going a step further, not just saying, hey, this is Jesus. Do you want him? Amen. It was, hey, this is Jesus. Do you want him now? Let's go together. You know, let's learn about him together. And taking that that initiative to find those people. He challenged me personally. And I'm still dealing with that challenge. And four sounds like such a small number. But he said, you're going to disciple four people this year. And I'm, okay. But in that, what I wanted to pinpoint, what he was talking about, is he gave practical ways. He said he went into restaurants, spoke to waitresses. And I told my husband, I said, oh my gosh, you know, we met in a joint, a place that you would call a joint. So for us to walk into a joint now would be nothing for us. We carry Christ, we carry authority, but to walk in there and feel comfortable around those people would not be difficult for us. And we haven't done that, you know, and it's like, Lord, what do we do? Where do we go? How do we do this? And he's just giving these practical ways of like, look at your life, look at where you're comfortable, look at who's around you. And go to them, because I guarantee not everybody you know is saved. I guarantee it. they may say they are, just like you were talking about, you know, people close to death. Some of them say and some of them know, you know. And so for me, he just encouraged us to go and do something. He said, and he even spoke about, you know, if there's not something going on in your body, but you want to go, like I said, if you want to go to a joint or something like that, like my husband and I, then go do it. If, you know, listen to the Lord and go do those things. You know, you don't necessarily have to be part of something right here. And don't get me wrong. I'm not saying go start your own thing, because that's not what he said either. All I'm saying is he said, follow the Lord and he will show you, because there are tons of people out there that need discipled. They don't just need saved. They need discipled, because then disciples make disciples. And that's how the harvest gets brought in. So that's it.
That's good. And when they're discipled, they will get saved. That's how Holy Clubs is set up. That's how people can actually come in to join a Holy Club, if you're hosting one, or however we do this, or you do this, or however it works. And Ben was saying, oh my gosh, there are people that will, and this can work in City of God really well, which we're going to take another step for Holy Clubs. Hi, sweetheart. And invite people who have been coming around to some of the meetings, or haven't, or they're living with their boyfriend, knows they shouldn't. God is saying, that's not a good idea. That's sin. Not a good idea at all. Affects you. And they're going to, you know, they're going to see, they're going to come into a place of connection with the holiness of God, and they'll give their lives to Jesus. That's the idea. So, you know, this is, discipling involves that. It's obeying Jesus and receiving him as Lord and Savior. And Ben explains that really clearly. And thank you, Kim, for saying that, because I understand. I had a similar, not that we didn't meet that way, but I'm saying my background was like, I can walk into a bar, which I have with many of you, to for the idea of going to talk about Jesus with anybody. We've been to, you know, strip clubs, gay bars, all kinds of places. You can walk in, and some are seem a little darker than others, But if you go in with the eyes of Jesus and you've spent time with him already, then God does what he wants to do. So that's a really good thing. And if there is, if you're not sensing that that's what you want to do or need to do, you can hook up, which would be great as well, as Kim was saying, with what we are doing when we go down in the streets. We go into places like that. We do. I mean, we do that. But we also, everybody goes out to eat, or most people, we sit, and Ben and Pastor Bill and I were talking to a waitress on Saturday night, and just our new friend Beth. So, you know, but we do this. He and I have done this for years, whether Ben's here or not. That's who we are, and that's who we are called to be. And when we go on a mission trip, a foreign mission, maybe it seems a little bit easier, but we're on the mission field here to do that. But one thing that Ben said really strongly was, a lot of people, they become really zealous before they've encountered God. And so what happens is, that part gets a little shaky. They enjoy being zealous for Jesus, and they end up crashing and burning, or at least petering out. You know, maybe not completely burning, but becoming very nominal in their fire for God. So, you know, a lot of practical things that way. But I want to show you some things that are going on right now in the midst of all the refurbishing and resurfacing and all the things that are happening in a couple places that many of you have been to. Unless somebody else has something they want to say about last weekend. Really appreciate that, Kim. That was awesome testimony. Was your hand, or? I just saw a hand, so I'm not sure who it was. Michael, come on.
When they were talking about sharing with waiters and waitresses, I was personally challenged from last weekend as well. I was sharing a little bit at Men Who Honor yesterday. Jamie, Gabriel, and I went to Chili's on Monday night, and I just had a sense or had a word for the waiter, and I shared it with Jamie, and I was like, yeah, I think the Lord wants me to share it. And so towards the end, I said, excuse me, you know, we're Christians, we believe in Jesus, and I just felt like God had a specific word for you, and just felt like you have a lot of things on your mind, like specific things on your mind. And he was like, oh my gosh, yeah, that's so true. I just broke up with my girlfriend and some other things, and so I was like, wow, that's, I just, you know, wanted to tell you that God loves you very much, and he's got a plan for you, and just shared with him for a little bit, and going to continue to try to stay connected with him. But it was just cool, you know, I felt challenged, and like, I really want to step out more. You know, there's people all around us, as we're hearing, as Kim was sharing, Pastor Mary Pat, you know, just being open to those opportunities and actually taking action. And so it was refreshing to see someone get touched like that. And
awesome. One word. Need just a couple definitions before we move on, is provoke. What does it mean to provoke? Now, if we asked all the kids, I don't know what they'd come up with. You ever heard that word, guys? Provoke? Never heard it, okay. Anybody who knows what it means to provoke? Ben used it on Friday night, and we've used it here before, but it's a really good word. Sometimes we get provoked because, you know, someone does something that makes us annoyed. So what's a definition of provoking in the context of Jesus, in context of why we're here? We come to church, we're just trying to say, Jesus, what do? You're our first love, I guess, right? Aren't you? How do we go? How do we take the gospel of the kingdom to the nations? What does it mean? And I think Ben said, I want to provoke you this weekend. I want you to get a vision. What does it mean to provoke?
Stirred to action.
Okay, that's good. Anything else you want to add to that? Pardon? To get amped up about, stirred to action. Peter? Take a fire that's starting to go down and stir it up so it becomes an inferno or flames or something. Provoke? Okay, that's good. That's good. Do that to the devil. I like it. Get away. That's awesome. Anybody else want to add to that? Yes, Solana. To get somebody to do something. That's kind of simple. Yep. Yeah, that's good. I like that too. Get somebody to do something. That's what Jesus, why he's here. I really want you to get this. Angie.
To elicit a response.
to elicit a response, aka get somebody to do something. That's good. Elicit a response. I see a hand back there. Hi, sweetie. Do you want to come up here and say this in the mic? Because it's kind of hard to hear and it's long. I like it. You come up this way. Come here. I like what you said. Good job. That's nice. Okay, go ahead. Tell us again. Say it again.
So, like, if someone says that with God all things are possible, you can, and they say if you go to, and they said that if you go to church, you'll know a lot about Him. Like, you were provoked to go. And listen to Him because he wanted to do a lot of things that were hard for you to do without God.
That's awesome. Wow, big thank you. Good job. Yeah, I like that. Good job. Okay, so here we are. We're being provoked, right, by kids. And little kids and big kids and being provoked by the Spirit of God. This is good. This is a good provoking because the Lord is wanting us not to stay dormant, not to stay flatlined, you know? He wants to provoke us into another realm of life. So that's really awesome. So He wants us to get a vision to make disciples, and He said this. He says, God is right. We have sinned. He's the solution. Simple. God is right. We have sinned. He's the solution. But He said, the problem is that people want to do something, but they try to do this before they've gotten something from the throne of God. So that's kind of where the rubber meets the road. And a lot of times we pull back thinking, well, I'm busy, I'm going this direction, and we're saying, well, this is what God's calling me to do. And He's going, you know, your heart, your fiery heart that is either guarded or not guarded so that your fire increases is what I'm looking for. And the rest will spill out after that. I mean, that's the name of the game for any of us, to be provoked into that place of realizing He's the only way, He's it. Nothing else, nothing before, and nothing after. He is it. And then we start from there. So this provocation, this provoking is a big deal. And so with that in mind, I want to show a couple of these videos because we're doing stuff. We're in the nations. We're doing things here. People may not understand it, but we need to celebrate what God's doing. But I'll tell you what, He is foundationally getting us right now with new foundations for a lot of things. So I'm loving that. So if we can put, let's put Sola up. We have pictures and videos. Some of you have been to Sola, Ghana, and Accra, Ghana, in 2017 here in November, and many years before that. And I want to show you, if we can put some of that up, put the lights down, turn the sound up. I want to show you what's been going on this week, because there's major construction on the land, on our land, in the context that the Muslim chief who oversaw the area passed away recently. We saw him, went to him in May. There's a whole dynamic of what we do, how we do it, and how we roll, never compromising this great fiery love, but realizing what the powers that seem to think they be in that area want to try to do. So with that in mind, we want to take a look. This is our Kingdom Bible School right here. Come on. Yeah. Got a word this week. Check this out. This is what happened to it. And it was getting worse. We saw some of it when we were there. But notice, before we move on, notice the wise man who put a strong beam to hold it up so it doesn't fall down before it was taken down. Thank you, Jesus. So that was good. Continue on. Okay, there's where we hold Kingdom Bible School. And the rafters were so shaky that if you would blow on it, almost, it was coming down. So that's where it was. And we had taken steps. We had purchased some wood. We had done some things in November, which were going to be carried out in fullness, and had a little bit of a disconnect there. So now the Lord's given us, you can move on, better material. There's our roof that no longer looks like that, but it's gone. It's down. Thank you, Jesus. Next one. Now we're on the timetable of this. We have more? Oh, there we go. Well, let's start this over. Can we start this over? And is there some sound with it? This is the new roof and the wall that is surrounding it up to your waist or so. This is the new Kingdom Bible School building. All this week, they're working on that. Can you go ahead and start it? Lots of nailing. Check it out. There's our famous tree. I'm very excited about this. And the Lord saved it. And you know who saw that last week or so? The people of a different faith regime that came in unannounced just to check out those 22 acres. And we're wondering, what's going on here? Looks like things are dilapidated, falling apart. So Pastor Samuel was in the right place at the right time because of the funeral and all kinds of things, and was able to help change the mindset for the moment. I mean, just God was just saying, no, this is my plan. This is my kingdom land, so watch what I do. It's been really cool. So there we are, rebuilding. Better wood. Stronger wood, better than when the first building was built. Lots of structural support. Isn't that awesome? So that's all been going on this week. And Pastor Dan and Pastor Samuel from Life Christian Center are up there and send their greetings to everybody. Anybody else? Anything else from Ghana, or was that it? And now we're going to go either outside or inside our mission house. Oh, one more of this? Okay. There you go. There you can see the wall. Check it out. So with those who stay in tents, the leaders and such, they will have a place to stay on the inside as well as what other tents we still need. And we feel this is extremely important for expanding into the next level and the next phase of our building on the land. So what the enemy intended for evil, the Lord has turned quickly into something really powerful. Isn't this amazing? So I'm very excited about that. And then there are a couple from, here's the outside. The door was falling apart. This is our mission house. This is where we stay and others stay. Yeah, it's very hard. That on that screen, you're right. It's a metal grid, and it's going to be solid, and it's going to help enable us to lock the door better and prevent any problems. So we're really excited about that. And there's one also with the foundation, Carly. Another one. There we go. This is the front. We're going to be painting this. Andy's not here, but painting this. But they're putting this big opening. They're taking the opening, which was wonderfully done initially, but because of the weather, the inclement weather that they have, it's very, very hot and very windy and sandy, and it erodes and things fall apart. So we're really happy about that. There's one more or two more. I want the kids to see this because they'll be there, Lord willing, someday. Okay, there's the outside. Kim and Rick are going to love this. They're finally doing it. So they're filling in the literal holes and shoring up the foundation for the mission house, which is really, really wonderful. Yeah. And who knows, well, maybe we'll get a crew and go paint it or have somebody do it. We need to do that. And the far building is going to be refurbished as well. See the building beyond that? Where it's kind of a guardhouse kitchen size. It's very small, but that's one that needs a lot of repair as well. And I think there's one more inside the bathroom. So there have been some pesky critters that have come and tried to, you know, gnaw at the wood inside. So we're in Ghana. Yeah. So we're redoing all of that. And there's a lovely bathroom inside a mission house. And then forwarding that up. So isn't that cool? There's a shower over there, and behind that part, that building, is our great big tank for the water, the well that we have there. Amen. I think that's it for Ghana, yeah? We just give a big cheer for Jesus. It's amazing. Yes. Okay. Yeah. Thank you, Lord. Okay, now we're going to jump into Brazil because it's all going on at the same time. And the team just came back, so you're going to love this too. So kids, parents will have to tell you, that was Africa, this is Brazil. So here are some things that you can see where we are. And by the way, Holy Clubs started round two, Song of Solomon, yesterday. Yesterday, yeah. Okay, on the right is Pastor Jerseo's place in City of God, Casa de Jesus, with Inez and Pastor Bill there. And on the left side of the alley, those are our buildings. So we own two, and we're wanting to buy the third, and then we're going up to several stories. Okay, next one. That's the corner of the building, the one that looks white. It looks really small right there. It has our sign up, Frontline Centro de Oração, Center of Worship. And now we own the one on the left, and we're trying to get the one on the right. Before any construction. And the one on the right, which looks much larger because of the angle, is the one that we want to keep in prayer because we want to purchase that as well. And Inez has seen that one in a vision or a dream. And that's just a matter of give us the money, Lord, and the timing. So we are in the middle of these two, but we own the one on the left and the one in the middle. Okay? And we're sitting right here signing papers for that second building, looking at our building right through the door. So we're sitting in Pastor Jerseo's place. Okay? That's how close we are. And these are the people that both gave their lives to Jesus that we bought the building from. Nice, huh? Yeah. Amen. Okay. And this is Holy Clubs yesterday. That was painted. Now, obviously, since we're under construction, they're sitting in Casa de Jesus in PD's place right now, and you know all these wonderful people. And Mike McCray painted that on their wall last year. Amen? Okay. And this was one of the last nights for us, Pastor Bill and I, and we had some special shirts made for the crew, some of the crew, for Frontline on the Frontline logo on the front. And on the back, we put Luke 4:18 and 19, but in Portuguese. And it was designed by Nelinho in the back. Yeah. The last one. There should be a good video there. Oh, okay. And then we're moving on here. You guys liking this? Oh, you're enjoying this. I'm glad. There we go. There's our building on the left. The one in the middle is ours, too. And there's the one on the right that will be ours. Okay, and then there's one more. This one's a little bit longer. And this guy, you can see his hand. He's climbing up the building. So it's you'll laugh when you see it. Can you turn the lights off? Maybe that will help. Thank you. So he's climbing up with his cell phone, whoever it is. Yeah. Oh, boy. Up to the roof. They're putting a new roof on. It's cement, and they're shoring up the foundation. There is our worship center. Some of the walls are painted from last year, and the rest have been torn down. And then imagine a nice flat cement roof shored up with the foundations to be able to build up. And then when we purchase the next building to the right of it, we'll do the same so it will all flow together. Isn't that amazing? So that's where Holy Clubs, soaking, worship time, all of this is going to take place. They just have to clean it up a little bit. Do you see his hand? The guy who's climbing. There you go. I'm sorry, Brenda's not here to see this. So this is what it's like to live in the slums, to work in the slums, as we call it here, but it's called a favela there. And you work with what you have and say, thank you, Jesus. So we're going to go up a couple stories and see what that looks like. Yeah, we're sideways now. Isn't that funny?
Nice done.
Is that awesome? Let's give a big cheer for Jesus, you know? So cool. Amazing. And the last thing I want to tell you, Pastor Samuel said that you guys are going to love this because so many of you have been there. He said last night about 1 in the morning, he said, I want you to know that the Kingdom Bible School that you host here is so effective that it's unlike any Bible school we have. He said, because you're drawing people into the presence, and he said, and people are getting it, their hearts are changing, and they're going out as a result of that. And the presence, it's presence-oriented, and he goes, it's working! It's working! He was so excited. He went on and on. I was just on the phone. I was like, oh my gosh! It was really cool. So he is seeing the fruit from the years of labor. So God bless you guys. And we're going to keep doing what we're doing. And we're expanding in the Bible school to go more often, have it longer. We have more material and lots of things. So, amen? Amen. Okay, one announcement, and so everybody gets it. I know the kids want to get to their class, and you've been so patient. As soon as you get this announcement from Rachel, you ready, Rach? Then we're going to go, and the kids can get to class. So,
this Saturday is Freedom Cry, so I hope that you have all planned to come for the whole time. It's going to be awesome. We have a good lineup of speakers coming, and they're excited about the day as well. And it's fun just to see how the word has traveled in the community, where a lot of people are sharing it on Facebook that aren't FMIers, there are other people who are sharing it. Everybody that's come has always had good things to say about Freedom Cry, and they're excited to come back again. And we're excited to hear what's ongoing in our community, and also just to see what the Lord does during that day. He usually builds just with his presence and his power and his encouragement, and it's a wonderful day. So come. If you need to know about any other details, see me, and if you want to help, you can also talk to me.
Yes. 1 second, sweetie. Just want to say, and I'm going to say it carefully because we have kids here, the Lord's ramping up stuff for us, because right before Brazil, I got a call from, how do I say it sensitively, somebody who works at a place that we go to where we need to make disciples that's pretty raunchy. And he called me up because we had gone there and we had talked and we had given gifts. And there are a lot of people who get hurt in that place, a lot of people. And he said to me, I want you to know that what you guys have done, and this is one of the guys who worked there, not a believer, but couldn't even take it anymore. He said it was so wicked. That's what he said. He said, wicked and evil, I had to get out. Okay? And he called me up and he said, I just want you to know that what you did was so kind and loving. I've never seen anything like it there, and you touched a lot of lives. Keep going. And I said, how can I be a help? Because we've been praying. What's the next step? And I said, can you connect me with some of these very, very hurting people, and kids, very hurting people who are taken advantage of. Can you connect me with them? Can you be someone in the middle, outside now, who can start helping us make a change as we work with undercover judicial people and police people and such? Can you help? I said that part carefully. And he said, I can do that. I was like, oh my gosh, this is like a movie. If I would have had my, something recording this, what he said, I'm taking notes furiously, was so powerful and strong that surrounds what we do at Freedom Cry from a local perspective a lot. So, God's moving and he's very pleased. So thank you for being part of Redemption for Life, which is under the umbrella of Frontline. And what we can do to help really rescue and restore the ones who end up deceased
in alleys, not just hooked on narcotics or opiates or whatever and living a terrible life, but also their life has ended. So it means very serious stuff. So I just wanted to tell you, we don't do this frivolously. Let's have a freedom cry. This is the fourth one. It's really important. So having said that, kids, it's time for class. Yes. Wow. These kids are awesome. I mean, look how they just sat still listening to all this. I think movies and videos helped, right? A lot of people are on vacation this weekend, which sounds really kind of nice right now. Oh, but good for them. Good for you guys. That's awesome. I want to share a few things. Oh, my goodness. I want to share a few things that were on my heart this week. You know, I was obviously touched last weekend and touched with, oh, I forgot to say, something big is going to be released, but you're not supposed to know what it is yet. Something big is coming from Pastor Jose. Talk to him. He called 45 minutes after Pastor Samuel last night, and I haven't talked to him in a little bit. So anyway, God is moving, so be encouraged and take heed, you know. Jesus has to be our first love, and it has to be practical. All right. Ben Friday night talked about us being an apostolic community and how that's the way it's supposed to be. But some of us are more apostolic than others, and we need to preach Jesus, be empowered by the Holy Spirit, and build locally and abroad and be alive and real. Okay, how do we do that? How does that look for us? What's that going to be like? It's like, okay, I guess that we need to understand Romans 2:4, the goodness of the Lord and how we preach it, and the severity of God too. And one thing that he said, and honestly, I don't know about you, but on my phone, it's like, okay, when I have a chance, I'll just kind of click on it, on those five videos, pick one, and then I try to go get it again. You can help me. Technically, I was stuck. Like this morning, and it's gone. This happened twice already on my phone. It's like, what? All right, so I don't know where this is, and maybe you can help remind me. But one thing that he said really touched me, and some of you have already remarked about it, was this. There's such an amazing message of the Father's love in the Father's heart, and it's gone viral. It's like, remember, Father's love, Father's love, Father's love. I go, and the Father tells me how great I am and how much he loves me, and all that's true. We should never stop. We should focus on that kind of love. We want that kind of Father's protective love, nurturing love. I know I'm loved by my daddy. With that, if we're really connecting in with that kind of love in the way that our Father intends, then we will step into the bridal love with Jesus. Okay, and if not, if we're not stepping into the bridal love with Jesus, maybe there's a disconnect. Maybe there's something that we just aren't comfortable with, because bridal love with Jesus is a fascinating romantic love, but it also talks about a heart commitment that hates and detests sin, hates it, hates disconnecting, hates offense, will listen to reason, wants to obey, wants to be led by God, will take a verse and go, wow, that could apply to me, will invite the kisses of the Lord's mouth, it says in Scripture, in Song of Songs, Song of Solomon, but the kisses that are coming to us are from the Word of God, and we're being kissed and kissed and kissed and kissed. So Ben, you guys, I don't even know what night this was, but Ben did a really amazing job saying, not that he was never accusing anybody. He didn't accuse the church or anything like that. But it's basically, hey, we run for the Father's love message. But the message takes us into lay down for the bridal love of Jesus. Because when you realize how great you're loved by our Father, then we want to embrace who Jesus fully is. Because Jesus always pointed to the Father. He just was always saying, hey, yeah, I love me, live for me, die for me. Father, 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 but that's where the disconnect can be, and it's dangerous because we can get so enamored by the feeling that we get in the presence when we're worship leading or worshiping out here and we're leading to the Lord, but it's not taking us into that deep romance with our Father in Jesus that we're missing something so important that the enemy just sneaks around and lurks and just waits for people to be much more comfortable feeling like, really, I just feel so much love from him, and I feel so much affirmation. So he's like, well, I'm not understanding. Where's the disconnect? Ben did a spectacular job helping us remember or see for the first time, maybe for some, I don't know, that this kind of deep love is supposed to mature. We are supposed to become mature. By the time we go home to be with Jesus, we should have deep, mature bridal and father's love working so strongly that we are the most effective that we could be in the last days. He wants us to be effective, effective in our marriages, effective in the ministry, effective in our jobs, effective, effective. And he spent a lot of different, gave a lot of examples, and spent a lot of time trying to point pictures for us in the scriptures of who is effective for God and why. And then he also said, I want to provoke you to realize how amazing Father God is and Jesus is, so that your full attention will be on him and you're waking up in the middle of the night, you're waking up in the morning, you're going to bed at night. Things are changing and shifting in terms of priorities and intensity, 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 intensity for this love, because we were designed for this. So I don't really know how we could actually go through five sessions where it's all about the Lord this way and not be provoked to some degree. And he's not finished. He's provoking. And there are going to be things that look like, my world's crashing in. Oh, it's so uncomfortable. I feel tension. And the Lord says, I know that. I want you to. I want you to feel the tension, because if you see what I'm doing behind it, you will be provoked to spend more time with me so you can really understand the bigger picture for the one right next to you. First ourselves, then the one right next to us, right? First, put on your oxygen if you're in a plane, right? Because you're not effective for the person next to you if you're dead. So put your oxygen on. So he's like, phew, phew. You know, this is oxygen time. It's like, wow. So the Lord might say, you know, this is how you normally would respond to this idea that would come, because you think this way, maybe linearly, maybe you think a certain way, boom, A plus B equals C. I used to teach accounting for years. Initially, when I first started college, you know, I graduated and was teaching business for years before I went into the life that I am leading now. And so you have to have a very logical mind. A plus B equals C. Hello. If it doesn't line up, there's a problem. I grew up in a family like that. Just very much, listen, logic rules. Jesus is the most logical human there ever was. God the Father is the most logical. However, he's saying, I'm going to mess with this so that you will be able to logically and experientially, through the scriptures, in my presence, get this. So you're romantically so connected that nothing will shake you. It's like, what? How can this be? Can they go together? Yes. Have they gone together? Yes. Is that God's design? Absolutely. He designed us this way. And so when we have something, you know, where God says, here, try this, see what you think. Not really try it, but embrace another way. Obviously, for Lawrence and Andy, I just asked them this morning. I said, you guys, can you do this and just send something? So I didn't know what they were going to do. Just make it short. Tell us what you think if you want to. If you don't, that's fine. Well, they did, and they did. And so it was just compelling, because it's like, oh, my gosh, if I didn't feel that way, is there something wrong with me? That's not the point. It's Jesus, you are provoking. Here's some things to consider. But what is it? I mean, we used to be at our house for years, and people would come and soak and lay out, and we'd be, is it Misty Edwards that sings, kiss me with the kisses of your lips, your love is better than mine? Heather Clark, okay. And Heather's been here, and we'd lay out for hours and be soaking, you know, every week. It was just great. And the Lord said, that's so good. Now, take the foundation with that which we have offered, and those who mix those two, so to speak, the strong biblical foundation with the understanding of bridal and father love that's so beautifully depicted, the relational connection of love in Song of Songs. When we put these together, it's not a formula, but it's the way of the kingdom that the Lord's saying, I want you to miss Jesus being first love. First, we have to get there, that he becomes our first love. And if he's not our first love and we don't understand what that means, or we do understand what that means and we know that he's not, we have to do something about it. Because what we need to do is cry out for the desire in us. God, you've got to draw me. Draw me. Draw me. Will you please draw me? I can't draw myself. But I have to spend the time with you to draw you. There was a season in Ben's life that he said that he didn't sense the presence of God for 2 years. Like, oh my gosh. But he laid out before the Lord 2 hours, at least 2 hours every day, going, no, I'm going to hold on to it. Ah, hold on to him. Hold on to who I know. Not what I know, but who I know. And then the what I know grabs us as well, because the Lord understands how we're calibrated in our thinking. So there's got to be a change, a shift. So this shift that we've been decreeing and declaring and saying for on New Year's Eve and before all last year, the shift is here, accelerated time, oh my gosh. If we jump into the fullness of that right now with whatever fullness looks like, things will change for us, and we'll be able to breathe something new. The pneuma of God, the breath of God, will take a different place within our heart in such a way that when we speak, things will change. Things will happen differently. They have to. That's how God created it. That's why we have to know the word. That's why Holy Clubs is so helpful. That's why the first 24 weeks are foundational, because it goes through who he is. And it's about connecting with who you are, what you say about me, and how that's going to affect me when I go out to others. And then understand how that flows, and that's how you make disciples. And when they see the fire in you and me, it changes everything. But if we start making our own decisions, say, well, the Holy Spirit told me this, very likely, or it could be, it's really not. It's really the way that we operate, and we crash and burn, or we crash things. And God says, I want to change that so that you're so intimate with me that people will sense that deep love, even if they don't like it and they don't like you. But they will sense that they are cared for and loved by you. Because our Father is long-suffering, and he's generous, and he's compassionate, and he's slow to anger. He's abounding in love. Isn't he so kind? And he doesn't have issues. He's not going, oh, that makes me uncomfortable. He's not uncomfortable. And the Lord says, I want to take that place where I'm uncomfortable. I don't know. He's going to take that out so that we can do what Kim was saying more effectively. It was really good. That's what he wants to do. Any place where it's like uncomfortable. A lot of people who have deep fears, they run. But they call it, it's really okay. This is what I need to do. It makes sense. I feel good now. I feel peace. I feel peace. Somebody said something nice, so I feel peace. That doesn't mean God's saying, yeah, go do that. It means that you might be responding to the very issue that you have in your heart that I'm trying to get to by provoking you to take a look at it and see what's going on. Why do I do what I do? Why am I thinking what I think? It's like, whoa. So it gets bigger and bigger and bigger. And at the end of the day, don't we all want to be more effective 5 years from now, 10 years from now, 20 years from now, 40 years from now? We want to be most effective, more effective. Yeah. It's like, oh my gosh. When somebody speaks to you that holds weight in your life, and it's like, Lord, is this really your voice? I'm willing to see whether it's your voice coming through someone. I'm just not happy with hearing this. But if it's you, I want to be able to hear you. See, that's where humility comes in. I want to be able to know what you're saying. And that's what Ben was helping us do by going through the scriptures with us in a very fun way last week. And helping the kids see, your parents are going to love this, or anybody in God Connect if you watch Saturday, how he very easily worked with the kids and was demonstrating some things. You guys are already doing that in God Connect and Kingdom Kids, your own kids. But this was really helpful because you watched the children respond. And Ben was also speaking. The children were over here. Parents and family were over here. And Ben was moving through really holy clubs. And then answering questions. That was really good. But I want to go through just a couple of things here. he said, this generation needs to be awed by the glory of God. It's like, okay, we do. And we're supposed to focus on his beauty. Yes, we are. Psalm 27:4, it's not new. We're supposed to delight ourselves in him, and he'll give us the desires of our heart. That's really true. But this season is going to take on a new place in the Spirit. He told us, which is not new. We've heard it for years. Guard your fiery heart. Is your heart fiery? I think so. Well, I don't know. Is it fiery? What's it mean to have a fiery heart? I guess you look at Daniel, you look at Jesus, you look at Paul, and you say, well, that's a fiery heart. But we're supposed to guard that, guard our fiery heart. And if we're not guarding our fiery heart, then there's someone who will take advantage of that and help us take advantage of that ourselves. My goodness. So he says, we're going to have a new appreciation for the weight of prayer, which is really great. And I think all that's happening. So as I was going through my notebook here, my journal, it was really interesting. I came across some notes that I took when I was in Ghana in November. And Pastor Dan came to our house the day before we were leaving. Pastor Dan is the associate pastor with Pastor Samuel. And so Pastor Dan, I was just looking at these notes this morning as I was just having some coffee. And he said, don't underestimate the power of God. When we do, we don't have confidence. Build up your confidence. Oh, okay. Well, that's a good word. I like that. Well, 1 Thessalonians 5:23. Now, may the God of peace himself sanctify you entirely. May your spirit, soul, and body be preserved complete without blame at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. And I remember him speaking about that, and I remember this verse being so strong and so encouraging. You know, we owe it to these guys. Hi, guys. You're amazing. These we owe it to them as well as ourselves, because Jesus loves us so much, to take advantage of every desire to pull into him and see what our brothers and sisters in the Word have done before us, and then grab on to the fireballs, to the lives of the fireballs that you can see around you. He said this, if you cannot operate in the gift of discernment, you will be deceived. That's Pastor Dan. I put a little box around that, and I went, but isn't that special? Because that's one of the gifts of the Spirit, discerning of spirits, and the Lord's been increasing our ability to receive the giftings from the Lord. And if we're not able, if you hear the words, if we're not pulling in, it's very easier for us to become deceived. Deceived means we can't see. Deceived means I don't get this. I'm hearing you, your words, you're speaking from the mic and you're smiling, but it's not changing me. I don't know. What are you saying? Give me some meat. This is meat. You're getting some meat. But the Lord's saying, you want to see and you don't want your ears to be blocked. When he says, he who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit is saying to the churches in Revelation, the seven churches in chapter 2 and 3 in Revelation, he's saying, know about those churches because these are the churches of the last days. It wasn't just for the time with John on the Isle of Patmos. It's also for us. We don't want to be like the church of Laodicea. We don't want to be like the Nicolaitans. Okay, we don't want to be like the church of Thyatira. We don't want to be like that in the areas that are not pleasing to the Lord. So he's setting us up for us to say, no, I want to run this race more seriously because I only have one chance, one time. This is it. My life is short. It's but a vapor. So I'm excited about that. So I'm looking at that going, God, how did Pastor Bill and I pray for everybody in frontline? We're praying for people. You know, as the Lord gives us utterance, it's like, oh, man, boom, praying good things, blessings, everything positive for people. you guys, you know, what we do know, what we don't know, just praying it out, you know, your destiny, what the Lord has for you, what that looks like, how that God wants to unfold it right now. Lord, what's the big vision of this house? How do we pull into your vision? It's about you. It's not about me or my schedule. It's not about my ways. It's really about you. How do we do that? And how do we do that from a place of love and hope and unity? So, you know, we're increasing there. So with this provoking, I just felt that I wanted to continue with the provocation from the weekend. It says, one thing you said was, if you're not discipling someone, you're probably not getting as free as possible. He's saying, oh, what do you mean? Well, then I'm going to put my spin on what discipling is. But the Lord is wanting us to understand that, which he unpacked well. And knowing that it's part of our own freedom. It's part of us getting free. When I was imparting in City of God, right before I left to come back here with Pastor Bill, and I was imparting to the team, the Lord put on our hearts, impart about freedom from bondage, things like that, and used all kinds of examples and the things the Lord had given us and taught us. And just impartation is taking who you are and what you know, carry him, and release it into others scripturally and through his presence and by the Spirit. And do you know, from that, hoping everybody here in this house was touched, but I do know for the people in Brazil that the ones who live in Brazil were just really provoked by that message. Provoked. It's like, wah! Because the Holy Spirit came in and went, got to shake this up, because this is a blind spot, or this is a place where there's not sight, there's not healing, there's not fullness, there's not fire. It's like, ooh. So guarding our heart for this fire, this inferno, that's like way at the top of the Lord, because that's what bridal love is about. It's like crazy. When Ben was talking to Pastor Bill and I about one of the visions or dreams that he had, he didn't go into it here, I don't think, but he was describing Jesus in one of the vision dream that he had, and it was like this powerful, warrior Jesus, where you're just going, but that's the fiery love of romantic bridal love that's inside that will help us see him that way, and then move in tandem with him that way. As a strong warrior who's so confident, full of hope, full of mercy, full of grace, full of joy, they can actually see something that's so dire change. Circumstances just go, choo, because the love for him is so strong that it starts moving through us and changes the situation, changes the people. And that's what he wants to do. And he doesn't want us to make excuses and say, no. Look what I've done. I did this and this and this. Isn't that good enough? That's like, that just exposes the problem. The problem is God saying, hey, I just want to get in there and turn you into a love muffin so strong that you can't, that my world, my life, kingdom reality moves you at work, moves you at home, moves you with your family, moves you in your finances, moves you in your job, moves you in church. And that's the mark of the last days. And he spoke a lot about what was going to happen in the last of the last days, which is really good. And he said that as we see ourselves as priests, and we think about ourselves as being the priest in our homes and our finances and relationships and all of that, and explained that, which was helpful and good, he said, then we step into the holiness of God in a new way. And the word holiness doesn't freak us out. You know, do you know that people in bondage run from anything to do with holiness? Holy clubs, holy, 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 holy. They run from that, run away from that somehow. Maybe with their smile, but their heart is going, when there's bondage or when there are troubles or there are things inside, it's like, if that can be neutralized in a person's life, the awe-inspiring holiness of God that motivates us when we get up in the morning and we want to take care of our kids. Something's That's where the immature love needs to grow into mature love, right? I mean, isn't that what he was saying with the Shulamite woman in Song of Songs? He said she started out with a very immature love, and she got wined and dined, so to speak, by the king of, you know, King Solomon, this guy who saw her in a patch working, and she had the dark skin. He's going, whoa, she's hot, as Ben put it. Like, wow, my eyes are on her. Okay, she doesn't have the pale, pasty white skin from having a cushy life. She's out actually doing something in the fields, but I'm drawn to her, and she's picking up on that, and she's crying out also for the desire for this king to love her more. That's from God. That's what he's got for us. But further along in the Song of Songs, as Ben said too, which we've, those of us who've read this or studied or taught it or whatever, you know, are reminded of, that she had to mature in that love. So this is what this is about. This is maturing time into another level, another dimension of love, bridal love, father's love. And you know what? People around you will know it. They'll feel it. They'll see it. There'll be this like ability you didn't have before. It's like, I don't want to. And hey, ha, hmm. Where instead it's like, it's okay. You know, hey, take that part out. I don't think that's probably the best right now. So anyway, just wanted to mention that these kinds of things are meant for our hearts to be alive. So let's go in the Bible to Matthew 25. Can we do that? Matthew 24 is talking about get ready for Jesus coming. And Ben spent a lot of time on there. And then Matthew 25 is the parable of the 10 virgins. And one word that I don't know if you caught this or not, but that I do this a lot when I'm unpacking things in the scriptures, I'm always looking for the word T-H-E-N. Then, as a result of, therefore is another one, then and therefore. And I love in Romans 12, 1 and 2. You know, the whole first part of Romans chapters 1 through 11, just kind of like are very pivotal and foundational for our life, our world, and our theology. And then Romans 12, therefore, brethren, as a result of, Romans 1 through 11, understand this. Those words are really, really, really important. So Jesus is blasting us in a nice way in Matthew 24, telling us what's going to happen and what needs to happen, and then the end will come. So as a result of that, what are you going to do? How are you going to live your life? Are you going to be a wise or a foolish virgin? What are you going to do? What's going to be the oil in your lamp? Is it going to be burning brightly, or are you going to be content just when your kids sing a song at home? So what are we going to do with that so that our heart will be alive? My heart has to be alive. And I've been thinking about that this week, because I believe mine is, but I want it to be even more alive. I want it to be more vibrant, more fiery, more and more, because I'm in love more and more and more. So the result is that's what my heart will say. And I won't step back when people are going, well, I think, you know, this is what I see, this is what I'm going to do, and na 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 na. I'm asking God, what do you want me to do about that? Is this time to shut my mouth? Is this time to say something and do something? You know, when you have visions, and I know Jordan and others, I don't know if Jordan's in here or not, but Jordan had a vision of, you know, at some people being on a boat and then jumping off into shark-infested waters. Probably not a good idea. Probably not sent to do that. You know, it's like, you better ask God, what does that mean? And what do I do with that? Oh, well, that's just not a good plan. Probably so. But what do I do with that? Where my fiery heart of intercession, my fiery heart of the way I'm going to do kingdom, the way I'm going to do life, the way that I'm going to do marriage, the way I'm going to do family, the way I'm going to do, is got to increase. And it will in proportion to the time that I spend with the Lord. It's just true. There's no way around it, right, Peter? I remember the first time I met Peter, one of the first times, and he lived in the guy's house at that time, and the McRae house now was the guy's house. And Peter just so moved me. I was like, who is this guy from Iowa? He wants to sleep in a coffin or something. I was like, but I'm not laughing at you. But it, you know, we just kind of in a fun way, described it as a bed chamber. Okay, bed chambers. Like, but it's like this narrow thing that you lay in because you connect with God, but you're living in a house. This is to show you, this is extreme in a good way. So, I mean, that's why I'm not making light of it. Coffin is the wrong word. Bed chamber's better. Thank you. But it's long and narrow, and you were dying to yourself, truly. And you wanted to be, he wanted to be intimate with the Lord and not rain on somebody else's parade, but yet not give up who he was. So he's trying to think of a way to do it. And so he built it. I was so impressed by that. I'm serious. It was a beautiful time. He loved, well, you know, you're married to Teresa. I don't know what to say about that. So you guys have to work that one out. I don't know. That's, let me know how that goes. Maybe it's a, you know, chamber for two. I don't know. But I mean, Naomi grew up when she was born. She's this little baby, and they bring her into bed, and she's soaking for a couple hours every morning with these guys. I don't know if you're still doing that or if, you know, how you're doing that with the family now, but I know for years, well, she's, how old is she now? She's three. She's three. So for a couple years, they've been doing this, that she grew up going, okay, I'm just going to go, and I'm going to soak with mom and dad. It's like, what? Where'd they get that? This is bridal love. This is the heart. And if you're not doing that, don't be like, oh, when I'm really screwed up parent. No, not saying that. Just saying that that's what they did, and that was effective for them, and praise the Lord. But the point is that the intimacy, spending this time with God, was so important. And so the Lord would say to you, and I haven't talked to you about this, how's your heart? How's your fiery heart, Peter? And I'm assuming it's great and strengthening. But for all of us, don't we go through those times where we're, it's like, I don't know, it's like, how do you measure a fiery heart, Jesus? Spend time and he'll speak. Because we have to listen to what he says, not just spend time and not pay attention, because he will speak to us. He will. If we say to him, will you please speak to me and show me if I've not been seeing you clearly, but we're willing to hear the truth, he will, because that's his job, you know? Or we are hearing clearly here, help me with this. I'm not sure, God, how does this all work? You know, I just, he's so gracious. But he's saying, I'm God, you're not, you know, you need me, sin's the problem, and I'm the solution. Here we go, let's start there. And let's grow in that intimacy. So take advantage of these things, and don't apologize for opportunities that are given. You know, we're going to try to figure out how to do more with Holy Clubs here. I'm not apologizing for that. I know it's God. If I didn't know it was God, I, you know, would say, But we know that God is doing something different, increasing, and for the nations as well, because we're stepping out in Brazil, praise the Lord. We're going to look into Ghana and other places to see what it's a tool, but it's a tool to help us get into a prayerful place and intimacy with Jesus that we need in these last days. I mean, really do. So we're trying to figure all that out, and if you're interested in any of that, let us know. You know, if you want us to... Yeah, just talk to us and tell us what you know. But let's look at parable of the virgins in Matthew 25. Then the kingdom of heaven will be comparable to 10 virgins who took their lamps and went out to meet the bridegroom. 5 of them were foolish, 5 were prudent. Have we ever asked the Lord, okay, am I foolish or am I prudent? Asked him and then listened. I think that's the key. Who agrees with that? I mean, if he says, kiss me with the kisses of your lips, kiss me with the kisses of your word, why don't we ask him these things? It should be fun, right? Because we want to get to, we want to see that going through Matthew 24, as long as we live, right? Is going to be gone through in the best way possible, and we want to go forward as lovers and leaders, leaders and lovers, laid down lovers, going lower, really going lower. For when the foolish took their lamps, they took no oil with them, Holy Spirit, but the prudent took oil in flasks along with their lamps. Now while the bridegroom was delaying, verse 5, they all got drowsy and began to sleep. But at midnight there was a shout, "Behold the bridegroom! Come out to meet him!" Then all those virgins rose and trimmed their lamps. The foolish said to the prudent, "Give us some of your oil, for our lamps are going out." And this is one I want to highlight, verse 8. Maybe we can put it up there, Angie. Thank you. Okay, verse 8, the foolish said to the prudent. Now, not that you're going to be looking at someone and going, "I'm prudent and you're foolish," but the Holy Spirit can quicken us because we don't want to be deceived. We want to be discerning. We want to understand what he's saying, and we want to be able to grab something when there's influence around us that seems, it's like, is this true? Is this not true? Somebody said something to me on Friday from a very influential place, not my husband, another person, that was so smooth. I was like, "Whoa, this is one stinky lie." All lies are, but this one is so meant to hurt you. And I just, what do I do, God? I can just shut my yap here. I can do that. I'm good at that. I'm a good listener that way. Shh, quiet. Or I can say something. What would I do? What do you want? Because I know right now that this is foolishness that could hurt this person that I dearly love and care about. What do I do? So I'm praying, going, okay, God, what do I say? Because I always do that. Don't you guys do that too? It's like, all right, what do you want right now? And I said, well, I'm thinking, Lord, give me more material so this person can receive. That's all my goal is. It's like, I want to be able to be used. And it might be, 5 hours of speaking. It might be one sentence. I just want to hear, what do you want me to do? So I began with something. I was telling Pastor Bill about this when I got home. And I began with something that took this person back into remembrance of a conversation that we had had before that was positive. Now, in that case, even initiated by that person, because I try to do that and wait. And when that happened, not that it has to be that way, you can be the initiator, but when that happened, it's like, okay, Lord, what's the best? I could debate this. I could go through the exegesis and say, I could do that. Is that what will be helpful? No. What will be helpful? I want to be a wise virgin right now. What's helpful? I just began to share something that I had shared before about my step into connection with Jesus that had already been heard but not listened to, heard but not received, heard but not acted upon, heard but not provoked to do anything about it. But to say it again, kindly, gently, and immediately after I said what it was, about me receiving Jesus and the Spirit of God lives inside, because it was really strong, what was the lie. It was very strong. And that person said, okay, I'm finished right now. I said, okay, no problem. And that person stopped that, but I knew that God said, no, that's part of the spiritual push in the Spirit as you're praying. You are responsible to only say and do what your Father in heaven is saying and doing. And that's where a prudent virgin will be able to know the difference, when it's going to be helpful. And that person felt very loved, very cherished, but just didn't want, the wall was still right there. So I was like, God, why would you have me say that again? He said, because I'm God and you're not. Thank you. And it needed to be out in the Spirit again, because the enemy comes to take away the things that the people you love and care about most, what they used to embrace, or they started to embrace, or you would hope that they would grab onto. It falls into those categories. So it's like, Lord, do you think this is important? Obviously, yes. Okay, back up. Because this person who so loves me wanted me to agree with that person. Because if I would agree through my silence and do nothing at that point, that would have helped. Excuse me, that would have hindered that person even more. It would be like a choo-choo in the spirit. And that's why. I was like, well, how do you do that gracefully? You spend time in bridal love, things that we're talking about, everything we're talking about. These things are really important. This guy from this strip club, you know, it's like, God, I always want to say the right thing. I want to do the right thing. So sometimes we think, well, I don't want to push them away, so I'll do nothing. And sometimes that's very foolish. We really, really have to grow in our discerning of spirits, as Pastor Dan said, so we aren't foolish. We don't want to be foolish, because the enemy will keep going. What's his goal? To rip anything that we've ever had out, to minimize us, mm-hmm, and the people around us, because on fire, you're dangerous. Really dangerous. I'm dangerous. Really on fire. It comes down to that. And we're here to enforce the kingdom. Amen. So let's finish this up. The prudent answered, verse 8, the foolish said to the prudent, give us some of your oil, for our lamps are going out. The prudent answered, no, there will not be enough for us and you too. Go instead to the dealers, buy some for yourself. Sounds good. Sounds like a bridal chamber that Peter was designing for himself and Jesus. Verse 10, in a sense. And when they were going away to make the purchase, the bridegroom came, and those who were ready went in with him to the wedding feast, and the door was shut. Later, the other virgins also came, saying, Lord, Lord, open us for us. But he answered, truly I say to you, I do not know you. Be on the alert then, for you do not know the day or the hour. You know, I'm always asking God when I'm reading the scriptures, why is that in there? What happened before? And what happened after? What the heck are you doing? Andy said he liked hearing about Israel. We didn't hear a lot about it. When we were talking to Ben about sharing some things, he said, you know, gave some ideas, and we gave some ideas, and we said, let's just flow. That might sound like that's not organized enough, but it was very organized in the spirit, and it flowed beautifully. So if we really want to be effective and on fire for what God's wanting us to know and see and do and understand and be effective with our giftings, our callings, our anointings for the Middle East, for the 1040 window, for Israel, this is non-negotiable. But it's still free. We're still able to do whatever we want, right? But Jesus is very, very sure. There will be an intense hatred for anything that grieves the Spirit of God, any kind of sin. You won't get your answers from everybody on Facebook. You'll get it from the Spirit of God. No offense meant. I go on Facebook too. I'm just saying, okay? You're going to get the solution from the one who is so intimate with you that he's got the idea right there. And you're going to be able to discern what's helpful, what's not helpful, what's good, what's not, what's prudent, what's wise, what's prudent, what's foolish. And that's where it comes down to, because if it's not from him, it's not prudent. It's foolish. It's like, oh. And we can actually make tactical mistakes in the way that we do life. So we really, really want to do that. And, you know, because we want to get closer to him. Amen? So let's just pray. I wanted to spend a lot of time going through and pulling out some of these wonderful deposits that we heard last weekend, just reminding you also that Psalm 2 was unpacked a little bit more. We did some unpacking on Tuesday with that, and how important it is to continue to seek the Lord for revelation there and put that in your spiritual arsenal as well. I know Pastor Bill was challenging Men Who Honor yesterday with going through various places in the scriptures, but there's a way to go through the scripture and not connect with God in that romantic, heartfelt, loving, kind way. And that's where we have always felt that when those two come together, that we have this insatiable fire that really changes things. And that's what we want to do here and abroad. Amen? So that's our hearts. And be provoked. This is good. One thing Here's a key that I have to, I did it in red or in orange, so I have to say this. This draw me away that Ben was talking about that we've been singing for years, doing the first commandment we've been talking about and singing about for years and all of that will become our highest goal, our highest aim, and love will just encompass us. And the Shulamite looks at what she gets out of the relationship and then her love encompasses completely what he is to her. That's in a nutshell what this is about. Let me read it again. I wrote this down and it's true and maybe not new for you, but we have to be reminded so that we are provoked to run after him. The Shulamite in Song of Songs looks at what she gets out of the relationship first. I added the first. And then over the progression of this place, her love encompasses completely what he is to her, who he is to her. That's the relationship changes. It's like the king says, baby, I've been whining and dining you. Come on, let's stay in this love pact forever. And she goes, I love it. But he says, hey, now let's go do the work of the kingdom. And she pulls back like, no, I'm too busy. I'm too this. I've got a different focus. I've got this. I've got that. That's an indicator right there. She has immature love. And we can help those who have immature love if our love is more mature to be able to see it. And then we can help. Help. Because the enemy will do anything to take love that had been more mature and even pull it away. And he's effective. And he's done it, and he still does it, because that's his nature. What else is he going to do? But so God is saying, let's move towards that maturing kind of love. And the Lord will lead us into that to be able to help not only ourselves with the goals that we have for our own life, but also the ones who are around us. And out of that love, we'll understand this key. One more time, let me read it. The Shulamite looks at what she gets out of the relationship, and then her love encompasses completely what he is to her. So, the two crises that are discussed in Song of Songs, Song of Solomon, however you want to say it, these were part of the Lord's plan for her life, so she would be provoked to be uncomfortable. So it was her response to that. He wanted her to make the right response sooner than later. Not run, but run to him and listen to those around who could help. So eventually the king said, hey, baby, let's do this. We've got things to do, and I still love you, but your focus is going to be over here with my love so saturating you that you're mature and confident, but let's go do this, and it's been stolen away over here. Stop it. Come on. And by that time, there had been this progression of love and affection. And her love began to mature. Think about that for our own lives. It's like, oh my gosh, he loves me that much? With the same love he loved Jesus. And Jesus grew in wisdom and stature and favor with God and man. So let's pray. Father, we just thank you for the word today. Thank you, Lord, that you are so desirous to grab us in these places, God, where the secret places of our heart are going to be exposed and increased by you. And you're looking, you're just looking for those who will say, draw me away, draw me away, draw me away, draw me away. Lord, we thank you that you're increasing the draw today. You're increasing that hunger for that today. And Father, that the verbiage that we use and the ideas in our hearts that we have and the heartfelt, yeah, I love you, Jesus, is being challenged, God, by you. Just talking about you, just even when I was talking to this friend in the hospital, God, angels were showing up all over the place. You could see them and feel them and sense them, and there was just such a heavenly aroma. Oh, just like now, God, your heavenly aroma is here. The fragrance of heaven is here. We're looking forward to you coming and returning. We're looking forward to what you're doing in our love. We're looking forward to how effective we can be for you because of the love. We're looking forward to more of prudency, God, in our own love with you and for you by the power of the Holy Ghost. We thank you, Jesus. We thank you, Jesus, that you don't give up. You don't stop. You're relentless. You're pursuing us, and we're grabbing on more and more and more. Oh, thank you, God.
Thank you for the release over these precious family members today to carry on after this past weekend, even stronger, even more, even deeper, even wider, receiving the depth of that love that you have for each one of us. Oh, that so shakes us to the core, so shakes us, God, that we look at every situation through your eyes. Thank you, Jesus. Let it be. Let there be such a turn today that we will receive the truth and we will not resist you, Holy Spirit. And we will listen to those who speak by the Spirit, who are not foolish, who are prudent. And we will not say no. We will say yes, 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 yes. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Only you can do this in us. We love you so much. Love you. Thank you for blessing us. We bless your name. Thank you, Jesus. Guys, be encouraged today. I pray there's an increase in provocation today. I'm provoked by the Spirit of God. So be strengthened and encouraged. Might be a little short for the kids, but they sat here for a while. So God bless you, and see you Tuesday, Lord willing, if you're able, and Saturday. We sure would love to have you come. God bless you. Love you all. Be encouraged and strengthened. Amen. Amen. Let me put some